We will customarily pause to have a moment of silent prayer for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study of those kinds of mental attitudes and behaviors associated with Cosmic Two, it is our prayer that we would do internal examination to see if we are involved in any, but also that this study would make us ever alert to others who do, and therefore challenge us in the angelic conflict. We lift our prayers to these ends in Christ's name. Amen. We made it down to cosmic panaceas. Drift down here to that. This is number 6 on our agenda. Philosophies and ideologies that sustain the long march through institutions by propagandizing the benighted into accepting the false premise of human equality. There is no human equality, and we can prove that in this room. We could go through a dossier on each of you and therefore put up on the board in many different categories. How about IQ? Anybody willing to volunteer for that? Okay. How about ownership of property? How about bank account balance? How about number of cars, televisions, widescreen, and analog? See, those who have an analog TV now would be lower on the totem pole than those in widescreen HD 1080p. But see, none of that's anybody's business, but it just goes to show you that when it comes to ginning everybody down to the same thing, you wind up robbing people of freedom, objectivity, the ability to accomplish things, to work for things, to not only do that, but to improve their thought process. When it comes on a scale of what is your doctrinal inventory, how do you rank with others with whom you associate, you can discern that. I was speaking with a fellow at halftime that he's associated with people that pretend that they're Christians, but they're not sure that they are. You know, people that say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but do they really? And so I told this person how you can find out 99% sure. If you were to die tonight and you were to arrive at the front gate of heaven and the Lord said to you, on what basis should I allow you into my heaven, what would you say? And if they say, we know actually I'm not worthy to go, but I am going to go because I've placed my personal faith in Christ, then that person is saved. They get it. It's total grace. But they say, well, I sing in the choir, play trombone on Sundays. Do this, that, and the other thing. I'm a member of the Rotary Club. I was actually a Rotary Man of the Year one time. And I help old ladies across the street and this, that, and the other. That person, if that's what they are basing their eternal future on, and they may actually have many civic awards, but they're not going to go. But at least you know who you're dealing with. So cosmic panaceas becomes an issue. Seeking, let's note the word panacea, by the way. It's Latin as far as our English word is concerned. But the Latin is from the Greek, panacea, universal remedy is what that means in the Greek. And that comes from panakes, and that means all healing. So cosmic panaceas, cosmic meaning the world, cosmos diabolicus. The panacea, that has to do with ideas that emerge in human viewpoint thought that those who hold those ideas believe are going to resolve certain human issues, that they will be all healing. You have a universal remedy. If everybody thought the way we think, we could solve all these problems that face mankind. The problem with that is this is a fallen planet with fallen people in it, and there's no way to fix this. The world, according to Romans chapters 1 and 8, says to us that even the creation itself groans for the second advent. The world is fallen. The planet is suffering. because of the sin of man. And it will not be restored to its pristine perfection until the second advent of Christ. So even the planet we live on is fallen. And so what if there is global warming? You have no idea how hot it's going to get at the end of the millennium when the Lord does away with the whole thing in a ball of smoke. Then I think when that hits the news at the end of the millennium, just a heads up here, the Lord is going to destroy the universe and it's going to be an implosion and then an explosion and then nothing. Won't be any smoke left. People will say, oh, we have to stop that. We have to quit breathing. We can't burn coal. We can't use wood, etc. We got to stop this. No, it's going to happen. So you don't know global warming. Life is not fair. And that's in your notes, so you might underline that. It's not fair. And it's not supposed to be assumed to be fair. Because if you understand the Word of God, you're surrounded by 7 billion people with sin natures. Some of them are really bad people. Politicians, for example. There's some minor league people who are involved in bad things. That would be like communists and Muslims and things like that. They're minor league compared to politicians. Unbelievers and believers out of fellowship observe this fact, but never confront the issue with biblical problem-solving devices. We want to do it with human viewpoint. That's what our government's doing, trying to solve intractable problems with human viewpoint solutions. And the more they try, the bigger mess they make. And so when the mess is made, then they decide, well, we left something out, and then they make it even worse. Life has not been fair to members of the human race since the fall in Eden. Ham thought that he had got a bad deal. Cain thought he got a bad deal. All these people that deserve what they got think they got a bad deal. You get what you deserve, usually. Sometimes it is momentum testing, and you're to orient to that. But the ball of yarn tells us this, that life is not fair. And God, recognizing that, gave us biblical problem-solving devices so that we could confront these issues, which are typical to a fallen planet, while maintaining a copacetic mental attitude. I submit to you this morning, some problems cannot be solved. And if you weigh on trying to solve them, as progressives do, they're never copacetic. They're always mad about something. They're always trying to improve the unimprovable. And they try to do it through force. Realization of their fallen status inspired Adam and Eshah to opt for a human viewpoint cover-up, utilizing the leaves of plants. Imagine that. So rather than going back to the sacrifices, which would have been a good idea, and of course there were no sacrifices at the time, so they had to invent something out of whole cloth. So they invented out of whole leaves. Progressives, having discovered that life is not fair, impute guilt arbitrarily to those they dislike. They determine that something is not fair. Our nation is a client nation. It has achieved more than any other civilization in human history over a very brief period of time. Yet so many things in this country have been done improperly, wrongly, unbiblically, but still we're in the devil's world, so what did you expect? Everybody's all hot and bothered now because of Gettysburg. And all of that's, well, they are. We renewed the fact that the South is a bunch of evil people, and they didn't know what they were doing, and they made a mess of things. But lo, the Yankees came to the rescue. Well, what was the problem there? There were several. The one that is emphasized today is slavery, and that is a good argument. But I'll tell you an argument that should have equal standing and status in the discussion would be states' rights. We're suffering today because states' rights was also a major issue in that conflict. And because we lost states' rights with the illegal ratification of the 14th Amendment, we suffer down to this hour, and most Supreme Court decisions today include a reference to Section 1 of the 14th. This whole deal on gay marriage, they reference Section 1 of the 14th, equal protection. It's always equal this, equal that protection. So your freedom is being robbed from you by an issue that was not resolved in the war between the states. Lincoln wanted to preserve the Union, and he's given accolades for that. The issue is the Union did need to be preserved, but the Union needed to be preserved as it was based on the foundational documents, not through some invention in order to assuage the guilt complex of the Republicans of that day, which was the 14th. I'm telling you, and I've done studies on it before, it boils down to the fact that our Constitution has been diminished down to a couple of sentences in the 14th Amendment. Every decision the Supreme Court makes now usually references that Section 114. So we have this. There are many things in this country that have been unbiblical, that have been wrong, have been horrendous, yet we still survive because of the pivot. It's not really what's right and wrong that goes on in a client nation, generally speaking. What's the issue is how many people can hold it together so that those who want to use their free will to prosper by making good decisions, therefore prolong freedom, that's the issue. And that undergirding power is being suppressed in our country through assaults that are made against those who are believers in Christ, against Christ Himself, against the God of the universe, against the Church of the Living God, etc. Those things that are so imperative to our survival as a free people are under direct assault from the left, the progressives. And they do not know what they're doing. They're destroying themselves. And it's a cosmic panacea. The idea that all these wrongs can be perfected by fiat is the issue. They naively expect universal approval of their cosmic panacea as a logical solution, branding anyone that disagrees as intolerant. If their solutions don't work, they never conceded it was a bad idea, but rather their efforts were frustrated by traditional opposition in the form of religious zealots, outmoded mores and customs, or those deprived of an Ivy League education. Most of the thought behind what goes on in our country today comes from those who were educated in the Ivy League or something very close to it. By the way, an Ivy League degree is achieved through similar techniques used to propagandize our POWs in North Korea. If you study the propagandizing of our POWs in North Korea, you will see those techniques are being used to educate the people in this country. I'm trying to remember that movie that Frank Sinatra was in. Somebody tell me where the Manchurian Candidate. Go there. It was all about how people propagandized in North Korea. There's a book out called Betrayed or something like that. A guy named Hunter wrote it. He was a POW, and he did a book on how that whole system worked. Well, if it works, use it, right? And so that's what you have with Common Core. That was cooked up, I'm sure, at probably Princeton or Harvard or Yale, maybe Brown. Convinced they all have the solutions, propaganda indoctrinates the unwashed masses into servitude, believing that if people are forced to comply, success will surely follow. You are the benighted and you just don't know how to think. We are the educated. We have an Ivy League degree. We've been through the system now, and we're the elite thinkers in the country. We are the anointed. So y'all just go along with us, and everything will be fine. And when you don't go along, then they pout and pass a law to make you. A central human viewpoint principle that defines progressive ideology is the belief that in order for life to be totally fair, everyone must be equal. To ensure the success of their inkling, freedom is suppressed with every egalitarian law that is passed. To make people completely equal, in other words, egalitarianism, then you have to rob people of freedom. Freedom to take their talents and abilities to advance as those talents and abilities will allow. They have to play within the system. They can't cheat, steal, and do the hoochie-coo. They have to play by the rules. And if they do that and advance and prosper, then they should be approved of. Those that say, no, I don't want to put out the effort, I don't want to get the knowledge necessary to do that, I don't have the stick-to-itiveness for it, I'd rather snort meth and sit on the front porch. And then they come and say, well, Fred's got more stuff than I do. Well, Fred doesn't have as much meth as you do. He does have more teeth. So that how are you going to make people equal as far as the dentist is concerned? Publicly financed implants. Teeth. Implants. I was in the mall the other day. I rarely go in a mall, but I was in one. And a woman was watching a kid bounce on those bouncy things where you strap these wires to yourself and you flip around up in the air like an astronaut or something. And this woman was so pleased that apparently her grandson, it could have been her son, could have been a brother, for all I know, she was in bad shape. So the kid was about, I don't know, 8 or 9. And she was smiling at this little kid. And it was a cavern. There were no teeth. And I'm thinking, there was one or two, let you know that she just forgot her dentures. That wasn't it. She had maybe 5 teeth left. And I'm thinking, snort city right there. So, listen to me. Have I just been intolerant? I'm not being intolerant. I'm telling you the woman snorts meth. That's all I'm telling you. And her teeth fell out as a result. But she's still happy the grandkid can bounce in the air. So we're equal there. I mean, I enjoy seeing my kids happy. She enjoyed seeing her kids happy. You know, you take my dad. When he turned 94, he lost a lot of his teeth. Went to the dentist about it. He looked at it. He said, yes, broken off at gum line, but really at his age, we don't need to do anything about it. He says, by the way, Joe, we're just not built to last forever. I took him back to the home, and 7 days later, he died. Get to the point where you don't need your teeth because you're about to go see Jesus. So I don't know if that woman died 7 days later, but she did enjoy seeing a grandkid bounce in the air. Convinced they have all the solutions, propaganda indoctrinates the unwashed masses in servitude, believing that if people are forced to comply, success will follow. The central human viewpoint principle that defines progressive ideology is the belief that in order for life to be totally fair, everyone must be equal. To ensure the success of the inkling, freedom is suppressed with every egalitarian law that is passed. The tragedy is that government control of everyone's life is appealing at first, because all personal responsibility is removed and placed upon an all-controlling government. You know, it's nice to lay back. Say, I don't have to do anything. The government's going to do it for me. All I got to do is get up the energy to go to the mailbox. But hey, I can have an automatic transfer. Don't even have to get up. So that's the problem. And it is appealing to those who are not associated with what it takes to really prosper in the soul. in the hostile environment of the devil's world. No matter what your circumstance, situation, or whatever, you can have the copacetic spiritual life. You can be good to go. You can be okay with whatever happens. Why? How can, are you being naive? Are you ignoring reality? No, you accept the fact it was in the decree. What's in the decree, the believer is expected to manage with biblical problem-solving devices. And if it's more than you can bear, then it is designed to steer you back to wheel tracks of righteousness as a form of discipline or punishment, done in grace. So you don't argue about anything. You have to orient and adjust to it. People say to me, are you having a hard time because your office is going to be destroyed? And I thought, well, no, it'd be awful. I'd be an ingrate to think that. I've got an office. Some people don't. I've got nice bookcases to put all those books on that I've got. Gary took off 42 boxes. I still have 35 left. So what do? I'm telling you, being up in the dining room on a little area about like this for the next couple of months, I'm already thinking, I don't know how this dog's going to hunt here. But I do know this, God knew it in eternity past, and I will get through it, and you hopefully will not know, other than the fact I just told you, you will not know about it. For a time, it is concluded, you know, once you install a socialistic system, for a time it is concluded that capitalism really was a bad idea. But absence of responsibility devolves into sloth. Absence of responsibility devolves into sloth. Slothful people are not motivated. They do not conceive or initiate new ideas. They do not create opportunity for advancement or achievement. Thought, decision, action. If I don't have to think, then I don't have to decide. And if I don't have to decide, then I don't have to do anything. I am going to sit here and collect dust. That's what I will collect. Some people collect different things. I collect dust. I don't even have to go to the bank. I'll have money automatically transferred. I'll just sit here. And I'll watch game shows on TV. I will do thumb exercises with my iPod. Or I'll snort meth. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And it's my right. And I don't want anybody criticizing me. That would be intolerant. Consequently, egalitarianism sinks from its own lethargic weight. You got enough people with these slothful ideas, and a civilization, a society, and a culture cannot survive. Poverty replaces prosperity. Freedom of speech is lost to the heavy hand of government-enforced tolerance. And free exchange of ideas is suppressed for fear of committing a hate crime. Give some thought to this term, hate crime. We now have legalized a vile sin to correct what is assumed to have occurred in someone's soul. Think through it. Hate crime. All right. Fred committed a hate crime. Hate is a mental attitude sin. The government now assumes that it can determine what sins we are committing in our thought process and have encased that into law so that when a person does something, they impute to him the sin and the crime of hate in order to stop hate. The circular thinking of progressivism. It is in inequality that produces freedom. When anyone chooses to utilize liberty along with talent, ability, and ingenuity to advance beyond their peers. Don't turn the page. You have no idea what I just said. I said that it is inequality that produces freedom. Some people want to give it a go. Others do not. Some people decide to advance in their education, one form or the other. Some decide not to. Some people decide to be inventive, take chances, invest. Others decide not to. Some people decide to make good decisions. Others decide to make bad decisions. All of that fleshes out as inequality among the people making decisions. Some people make A, some people make B, some people prosper from their good decisions, some people do not. Therefore, what you have is freedom of free will to make your own choices and live with the result. It is inequality that produces freedom when anyone chooses to utilize liberty along with talent, ability, and ingenuity to advance beyond their peers. Consequently, equality demands that the have-nots be allowed to take from the haves, thus repositioning both to the lowest common denominator. That's what equality does. Everyone has to hit a median level somewhere where those that are advanced in their thinking, their energy, their production, you have to be brought down. Those who do not produce have a certain level, and the mean is reached, which is impossible to do, but that's the theory. And so that everybody thinks and does and has the same thing. Consequently, equality demands that the have-nots be allowed to take from the haves, thus repositioning both at the lowest common denominator. And that, by the way, is one of the major concepts behind the Affordable Care Act. It's not about your health. Progressives who support these cosmic panaceas are systematically remodeling our culture, casting out its founding principles, and installing their own. Progressivism is an ideology designed to promote change from the status quo and is defined as follows. Now, this is taken from a book called From Archetype to Zeitgeist by Herbert Cole. And what that book does, it takes these catchphrases, these terms that are invented by the Ivy League crowd, and then defined for all of us then to obey. And so you can go in there and look up certain terms, ideas. Notice this subtitle of that is Strong Ideas for an Advancing Mind or something like that. But these are ideas. And how do you define the idea? That's the reason he wrote the book. So it's from A to Z. And so we look here at progressivism. How does he define this? There are a number of words used to indicate the nature and direction of social, political, and economic change. Does that word ring a bell with you? The status quo is the current historical situation in a particular community, state, or nation. Status quo, that is what is called the current historical situation. Conservatives are people who want to maintain the status quo. Now, if you are a conservative, your status quo would be the original intent of the Constitution, for example. Progressives are people who advocate a new social, political, or economic order that provides for more personal and group freedom and a greater equalization of opportunity, wealth, and power. Now, do you see how that contradicts itself? Let's go back over that. Progressives are people who advocate a new social, political, and economic order. So they want to reorganize our society, our political structure, and our economics, a monetary system that provides for more personal and group freedom. They want to make freedom more available to people. How do they plan to do that? With greater equalization of opportunity, wealth, and power. You can't have more freedom when you limit people's opportunity, wealth, and power by claiming you're making it more equal for everybody to have these things. It is self-contradictory and therefore can't work. If change is partial and occurs through the channels of power considered legitimate in the status quo, it is called reform. Reform adds to the current arrangements or modifies them, but it does not attempt to change totally power relationships or create a new order. Now we've got footnote 4. Example. The recent Supreme Court decision, Shelby County versus Holder, that overturned the portion of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which banned certain states from any standard practice or procedure that results in a denial or abridgment of the right of any citizen to vote on account of race or color. Now, in the 1965, that would be the Johnson administration, in 1965, there was this law passed, they call the Voting Rights Act, that in select southern states and in select counties of those states, the federal government had to approve the gerrymandering of those districts in order to afford the black population a greater access to the voting booth and thus power from the polls. That's the general idea. Now, that was in 1965. Now, almost 50 years later, they revisited that in Shelby County. That's just south of Jefferson County, meaning Birmingham. In Shelby County versus Holder, that would be the guy that runs the show at the Justice Department. So they challenged Holder on this. Not the whole law, but that these states had advanced in their attitudes toward the black population to the degree that this aspect no longer needed to be enforced. So the Supreme Court agreed with that. These states do not have to go through that process anymore because the black population obviously has greater access to the voting booth. That was their rationale. So what is this called? Something has been changed here, but it is a reform. It actually goes back to the way things were pre-1965. So that's reform. Got that? Can't do any better than that. Change is radical when it involves new power relationships that are fundamentally different from those under the status quo. Radical change goes beyond mere reform, however, in rejecting the status quo and creating a completely new power structure. Radical change can take place over a period of time, or it can happen suddenly. When radical change takes place suddenly, and power relationships change practically overnight, such change is called revolutionary. So you have a rebellion, sedition, revolution. So let's look at footnote 5. Example. In 2014, the Affordable Care Act, now postponed till 2015. See how quickly things can change? The Affordable Care Act of 2010 will start the process of phasing out private insurance companies, confining medical decisions to government bureaucrats, and imposing trillions of dollars of debt on the nation's economy. In order to keep from being confused by the way these change words are used, especially in the media, it is important always to remember that change is measured from the perspective of the prior status quo. Once you discover the nature of that situation, you can begin to understand the direction of the change that is taking place. Okay. The two changes we noted here are different. The first restores a previous status quo, while the second sets up a system of demolishing an entire industry and putting its former products under the management of government agencies. So that takes us back over here, and we find out that this is radical change. Some of it happened immediately. That is one that is called reform, and then this one is called radical because almost overnight, very quickly, one-seventh of the national economy has been placed under government control. So the latter is an excellent example of human good being transformed into evil. If you want to know what evil is, it's when the government can take over 1/7 of the economy in a capitalistic society. That can do nothing but damage the entire population. Nothing good can come from this, biblically speaking. Now, on Wednesday night, we'll take up religion. That's number 7 on our list. I think there's a typo in your notes. It says it's 6, but they're not 2 6s. You have to change the second 6 to a 7, and then likewise running forward. I'm never good with numbers. First session, I had a 5 when it should be a 6. Here I have a 6. It should be a 7. But no doctrine has been damaged by any of this. So we'll resume our study on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the power of the Word, the privilege to infuse your teaching into current events so that we can see what the dark side's up to and thereby prepare our souls to confront these things with a copacetic mental attitude. Give us the power through doctrine to move through it with a good attitude. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of the Word of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.